Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Dr. Mass, we've talked a lot to, you know, we've talked many times over the years, but really thinking about how can we improve our medical, you know, our medical system and dealing with insurance companies. And so first, good morning, Dr. Mass. Great to have you here.
Good morning. Look at that big orb in the sky, and it's coming out. What is it?
Yes, vitamin D. Is the vitamin D, though, bright with sunlight? When I think of the sunshine, is it because, what, the sun's not as close to the earth or whatever? We don't get as much vitamin D? Is that really true?
Well, we also cover up in the winter.
Oh.
You know, like if you want to generate some vitamin D, 10 minutes in the sun, you know, your arms exposed without sunscreen is supposed to generate some good vitamin D. But we digress.
We digress, yes. So let's get into it. And I know that you have, you know, you've been asked to travel to D.C. You've been very involved in lending your expertise, all of your experience, really, when thinking about our system of healthcare in the United States of America. And we've had, you know, many conversations about this. First of all, can you update, just for anybody just joining us, update us on as far as you traveling to D.C. or meeting with different people, being involved in the conversation to improve healthcare, to improve insurance? Can you update us on anything as far as your travels back and forth to D.C., lending your experience and where that is?
Oh, well, I actually don't have to travel as much. I have some good connections with people in D.C., so that's a nice thing. I make suggestions here and there. I don't need any credit for which ones, and I'm not going to take credit for yesterday's announcement that came right out of the White House. President Trump directed the Departments of Treasury, Labor, and HHS. They got 90 days. Hey, dude, you got 90 days to come up with a framework to enforce the Trump's executive order that came out in 2019, forcing both health insurers, their associated PBMs, and hospitals to disclose their healthcare cost details. I mean, what could be more simple than taking some of the groups in America that are making the most money and telling Americans, everyday Americans who are paying more all the time and are confused about their bills, how about you tell us, like, what you're actually accepting or charging? And, you know, if we have sunshine, if we have some transparency around those details, that's the first step in driving down healthcare costs. Not at all a partisan issue. And when this executive order came out in 2019, very few were complying. The insurers and their PBMs fought this very hard. The hospital associations fought this very hard. And currently, I think it's only over a little, around 21% of hospitals are fully complying. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
So I was checking my emails and I got a notice, Dr. Mass, through, I think it was LinkedIn, and a woman named Hannah, and she was complimentary for, she said, "You're so smart, Dawn, and yet you're going along with your basically conservative buddies, I guess, and you're just, what this is, you're going for a socialistic kind of healthcare. That's what you're doing," and so on and so. So she was very critical, because earlier we had talked about this announcement that Trump made. And so is any piece of this, I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, is a piece of this bad for America? Is this going toward a more socialistic type of medicine?
Transparency?
I guess.
Yes, I think your friend who is saying so, I'm not sure.
Well, she's a listener and viewer on YouTube, you know, so she was listening to us early, you know, she is not someone who's a personal friend, but she was somebody who was, you know, commenting on what I've been saying about, you know, trying to make our healthcare system and our insurance system, you know, more streamlined and transparent. But what she sees is that this is going toward a socialism as, you know, part of our healthcare. I'm trying to figure out what she,
not,
I know.
I don't know that I know. I can't guess what she's thinking. It almost sounds to me as though she's just tossing some buzzwords out there. But I mean, in a way, we've done nothing but roll more towards a socialized system, or at least towards a system that is so integrated that a very few companies are running it, and those companies are so tied to the government, how do we not already call it socialism?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, roughly 27% of the population, I believe, is on Medicaid. It varies per state. And there's five big firms, publicly traded firms, that our states contract with to manage those Medicaid patients. You know, I'm not sure quite what percentage of our population is on Medicare. I think it's around 20%. But even of the Medicare population, 54% of those are using something called Medicare Advantage. And over 60% of those are managed by one of these big insurers. Also in the news lately has been United Healthcare. They're really,
which is what I have,
and
full disclosure,
justifiably so in the Medicare Advantage space. So United Healthcare supposedly is helping run a government program. The way that it works, I guess, is Medicare pays these Medicare Advantage insurers to help them administer their care, but they pay more when the patients are sicker. And a bunch of these insurers, United front and center more than any other insurer, has been found making questionable diagnoses. What is an insurer doing making diagnoses in the first place? And we're talking about questionable diagnoses, some that are turned anatomically impossible and for which the patients are not even getting care with. How are they doing this? They're reviewing charts by AI, sending nurses to patient homes, giving the patients gift cards, and slapping diagnoses on these patients, and collecting what looks to be $50 billion in a 3-year period. So you're just extracting that money from a private insurer working with the government, is extracting that money from the government itself, from the Medicare plan. How do we not call that like socialized already, mm-hmm. when you have big companies, big conglomerates that are taking government money and doing it the wrong way? And by the way, that same United Healthcare has an arm they call Optum. Mm-hmm. Optum has an arm they call Optum Serve, and they are working with the government to create the AI and maintain the AI platform that supposedly finds fraud, waste, and abuse. How do you not call what they're doing fraud, waste, and abuse? It's like the fox in the hen house. I feel like it's already socialized.
Now, do you see in the future that they'll, and you and I have talked a lot about this, and maybe that's the confusion with some people, one thing I have talked a lot about is the so-called middleman, if you will, and that's exactly what you're speaking of, that there's, so when I got United Healthcare, they said, oh, and we have this concierge service. And so this is somebody who's going to work with you, and that's who you're going to deal with. And they'll call, how are you? And they're very kind people. So I'm not putting down the work, you know, those individuals who call you, and it sounds all well and good. And at first I thought, oh, wow, this is amazing. Like concierge. That sounds fabulous. But then when you look into it, Dr. Mass, you find out, well, maybe it's not like the concierge at a hotel that kind of, you know, helps you out, or a good Samaritan helping you out, that there's more to it. Can you explain that? And do you think that so-called concierge or middleman will be cut out under this administration?
You know who the best people to cut out middlemen that are charging us too much? It's the employers of America. So, you know, we've talked about the numbers of the population that are on Medicaid, the numbers that are on Medicare, but the biggest percentage of America is covered by employer-based insurance, right? And there's a growing movement in America where the employers are starting to understand, wait a second, I'm paying too much to these big consolidated middlemen, whether that's the insurer or the insurer's PBM, and those guys are often tied at the hip. You know, each of the big insurers has a big PBM. But instead of paying these big consolidated companies that are sucking our government money away and sucking employer money away, there's examples that we can see around America where employers are coming along and saying, we're not using the brokerages, or we're not using the insurers and the PBMs that are charging so much. Instead, we're dropping our involvement with them, and we're truly directly paying. And they're working with a new and growing movement of entrepreneurs who are benefit managers. Now, are those benefit managers making some money themselves? Well, of course, but they're setting up, I guess you could call it a different kind of a middleman system, mm-hmm. but they're doing it within communities. So instead of, oh, we're going to direct pay and we're going to contract with a Blue Cross or an Aetna or a Cigna, we're just going to forget the Aetna, the Cigna, the Blue Cross, and we're going to, as an employer, directly pay, and we're going to allow a benefits manager to help us create our own network. So mm-hmm. forget about the networks that were artificially constructed by these bigs. If people want to take a look at an example of this, there's a place called Ashtabula, Ohio, and their city and their school district, they dropped those brokerages that were associated with the big PBMs and the big insurers, and they saved about 30% by adopting a direct pay arrangement. If you want to pay less for healthcare, just pay less to the bigs.
Yeah, and there are all these different, you know, I was looking up some numbers. I mean, the vast majority of Americans want the price, healthcare prices, and that transparency, and the numbers are like 95%+. I always wonder what 5% of Americans or anybody in the world would not want transparency. But, you know, do you believe that does this streamline what already is happening in some states? In other words, we're in Pennsylvania, you practice in Pennsylvania, but are some states better than others? Because you were mentioning Ohio, for example. I know there was by the way, you can go to whitehouse.gov and they have all of these moves for price transparency. They're all written and all the details of everything. But the question to you, Dr. Mass, state by state, how, you know, do you see the differences? And then how would you rate, let's say, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, our East Coast region?
Okay. Well, please understand, I can't see all the numbers myself, so I'm as confused as everyone else. But I do know that there are some states that have been very successful when they drop, you know, the big middleman. So, for instance, Ohio has been a leading state. So Ohio was the state that it's Dave Yost out there. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I think he's the auditor general, maybe, or attorney general, one or the other. He was working with the numbers on the big pharmacy benefit managers, the people who deal with the prescription drug costs. And they discovered that the PBMs were pretty much helping themselves to extra Medicaid money, not a demure portion, but mm-hmm. like maybe $240 million a year in Medicaid alone, in Ohio alone. So, and it was some of the big PBMs, you know, like when you hear me talk about some of these managed care companies that are the big companies, I don't mean to imply that we don't need someone to manage. Mm-hmm. I just mean that maybe we shouldn't be hiring, or maybe our states shouldn't be hiring, maybe our employers shouldn't be hiring the big consolidated ones that cost more and that just help themselves to an extra portion of the money. So Ohio has been successful at that. In Pennsylvania, I'm not really clear on who's mm-hmm. who's administering our Medicaid managed care. I believe it's a group of the bigs, but mm-hmm. I don't know numbers on that in Pennsylvania.
Like, I know in New Jersey they traditionally have been better than Pennsylvania in general, as far as telling you, let's say you go to the ER. Unfortunately for me, I'm at the ER too often with my kids, but I know that in some states, let's say there's a doctor who's not within your plan, and then you're going to be charged double because if you just could see the doctor over there in the ER, because it's an emergency, then you would pay like half. And that actually happened to me, you know, over the past few years, where it was like if they just paired me with a different doctor in the local ER. You know, so we ended up with like this huge, ridiculous bill because they had called in somebody and they weren't in network, which all of this seems crazy to me. But, you know, that's the piece of this within the transparency. And I know that out on whitehouse.gov, they had written this up as far as what they're looking at. And they're saying that prices vary widely from even hospital to hospital in the same region. And so that they had, they were looking at different studies that patients, if you could just have the ability to see the prices and shop around, you could save as much as at least $1,000 if you knew the differences between the hospital over here and over there. I mean, it's a stark difference.
Sure. I guess I'd have to look at the number of hospitals in Pennsylvania and what percentage of them were already compliant with the existing law on the books, the existing price transparency. But I'm looking right now at the Patient Rights Advocate report, the most recent report. They track the hospitals that are 100% compliant with this law. And there's 32 hospitals listed in New Jersey, and only three of them are 100% compliant. So if it's better in New Jersey than in Pennsylvania, boy, it must be really icky in Pennsylvania. Let me take a look.
Well, you know what? It might just be the ones where I have friends or family or where I went. So I'm just going by my personal, you know what I mean, by my personal experience with it. But that's, I had heard that New Jersey, they were implementing those. And maybe it's just Cooper, because I know a lot of people, and we know Dr. Maz at Cooper University Hospital. So maybe that influences me to believe it's all of New Jersey, when in fact it's probably just our one great local South Jersey hospital. That could be too. And I think that's a piece of it, that it's hard for people, you know, to even wrap your brain around, hey, maybe I should just look this up, have this knowledge in advance, right? Because you don't want to have to look this up when you have the emergency. And And so,
100%.
You know?
You're right. You're 100% right. Cooper's not 100%, one of the hospitals that's 100% compliant with the law, just so you know. I mean, they're compliant on portions of it, but not all of it. Mm. I mean, I'm glad it's worked out for you and your family, but they're certainly not on the list. Mm. They also have three of their board of directors under indictment currently, which is always a bad look for anyone, you know. It sounds like a Seinfeld episode, right? We'd like to hire you, but...
That's very funny.
Three of us are under indictment, right?
That's a story. You're so funny. What, you know, when you look at this, are there pieces of this that you're still waiting for? In other words, what I hear from you, Dr. Maz, is you're very hopeful with the, you know, empowering patients through price transparency. That's hopeful. What are you looking at? And you say, oh, they haven't said fill in the blank. They haven't said this yet, or I hope they go to this area. What do you hope to see that you're worried that you haven't seen? That you have not yet seen or heard?
It's actually funny. Yesterday I was on the phone with, you know, another friend who's a physician that does a lot of work in DC, you know, and we were talking and he brought up the transparency. This is before the announcement came out, President Trump's initiative for the enforcement of this price transparency law. But my comment was, okay, we've had the law in the books, but no one's enforcing it. There's significant penalties. Mm-hmm. So I honestly, that is the first big step. Make these people cough up their prices. I mean, you know, wow. Hospitals account for 31% of our healthcare spend. And by the way, are there physicians that are dipping more than they should be? Sure. But physicians account for less than 8% of our nation's healthcare spend. And if you look at the price changes of U.S. consumer goods, I'll send you a groovy little chart that shows the hospital costs are outpacing college tuition, and the slope of the graph took a little rise in recent years. So, you know, this idea that we're going to start enforcing that hospitals and insurers and PBMs start coughing up their prices, yeah, let's go. I mean, why are we not already on that? I mean, what, you know, create the law for price transparency, done, 2019. But then enforce it. Why is it not enforced?
Yeah.
I mean, we're still paying more year over year.
I'm going to pivot a little bit because I wanted to ask you about something. And that is, I love this woman who I've followed for years, Kat Timpf. She's on Fox. She's on with Gutfeld. I don't know if you know who she is, but she was, you know, she's having her first baby. She announced that she gave birth to her first child. And then just announced yesterday that after giving birth, they realized, they diagnosed her with breast cancer. And how, and then she said, don't worry, good news. This is, they caught this in the very early stages. And maybe because she's young, Maybe they would never have even caught the thing had she not been there, you know, having the baby and so on. And they realized this and sure enough diagnosed her. How uncommon or common is that? A woman goes in, has her baby, and then they would diagnose breast cancer?
Wow. You're asking the wrong person on that. I mean, I do know in recent years in general, the incident rates for breast cancer have increased by maybe about 1% per year. So it's going up. Big questions for this are always why. Boy, it's hard for me to say. I mean, everyone has their favorite rock in their pocket for their reasons as to, you know, why they think that, you know, this is an increasing phenomena. But I'm never afraid to say when it's above my pay scale.
Yeah, no, so I just...
We do hear about more younger women for this happening in, but the numbers that I see are about a 1% increase per year.
So thank God
not
for that.
Not small.
Yeah. Thank God for that. But I just was stunned by that. I was like, oh, she had her baby. And then, you know, she said, oh, welcome my child. And then, boom, breast cancer diagnosis. I thought, oh, say a prayer for her. She's such a sweetheart. But,
oh, gosh. Imagine going through cancer with a new baby at home. It's
right.
Just, you know, cancer sucks no matter what. Even if you have a good outcome, cancer sucks. It's wonderful that it's early, but it's still a lot to go through. And, you know, I've always felt myself that, like, mentally, that feeling of that patient must have. Because if you think about cancer, it's mm-hmm. a part of your body that's out of control, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's always a worry, is there going, even if you conquer it, is there going to be a recurrence? And I think how that must play in anyone's head that has the diagnosis is just awful.
That's so true. What do you see here? When you look out, you saw yesterday's announcement that they're going to basically enforce what Trump had wanted back in his first administration. But as well, they're kind of, it looks like they're supersizing it at this point, that they're demanding the transparency, a few other things. Is there anything else that you see within what has been announced over the past 24 hours?
Oh, over 24 hours? Sorry, I've had a couple too many clinical shifts this week. But what I
asked
say
the busy
over,
doctor.
Well, yes, over recent months, I'm really happy to see people talking about the vertical integration that we have in healthcare. So, you know, I referenced the fact that Medicare Advantage, you know, we had these big conglomerates running Medicare Advantage. There's big conglomerates that are running our Medicaid, right? Mm-hmm. And to these organizations, these big conglomerates are so vertically integrated and looking to become more vertically integrated. You know, so that the fact that people are starting to talk about the fact that insurers own PBMs, they sometimes own pharmacies. United Healthcare that we just discussed, they employ 10% of all of the doctors in the United States. United Healthcare, you know, that I told you, works with CMS to supposedly root out fraud, waste, and abuse, even though they might be committing it. You know, they also own an organization called Change Healthcare that's the clearinghouse so that hospitals and physicians get paid. I don't know if you recall, but last year there was a giant hack and about half of America's sensitive medical data was leaked to the dark web. Well, guess why? You know, Change is owned by United Healthcare and their organization didn't do the industry standard two-step authentication. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah.
What are you doing owning a clearinghouse that's getting half of the, you know, the payment information? What are you doing owning that and running that if you can't do the most simple industry standard?
Yeah,
it's
so
just
true.
Wild to me.
So I know that we talked about the PBMs, but Tony on our group chat on YouTube is asking about CCC Health. I don't even know what that is. Do you know what CCC? I don't know what Tony's asking about. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. I'm not sure what Tony's asking about either.
I thought it was a thing. Like, oh, I don't know the lingo. All right. I thought I would just, but we did talk a lot, mostly on our, I think people wanted to know about the pharmacy benefit manager, you know, what you thought about, you know, with the transparency. Listen, I think we have to end it there, but Dr. Marianne Mass, thank you so much for your time. The doctor is in. I hope you come back soon. I hope you're doing great. And I can't wait to see all your pictures again. I love all your pictures on social media that you post about your garden.
Well, let's get things blooming.
Yes.
And then we can have some more of that. Stay healthy, everyone. It's the best defense against the predatory healthcare system.
Aw, thanks a million, and well said. That's for sure.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.